Hi, everyone. I'm recording this on July 4th, 2022. As you all are probably aware of at this point, there was a tragic mass shooting in Highland Park, Illinois. Today, I am a proud resident of Highland Park, Illinois, and was at the scene of the shooting. This is a very difficult, rough time for my community and something that I myself am still trying to wrap my heads around, but me and my family are safe. And ultimately what I wanted to say before we start this next episode is that the episode was recorded prior to any of the events, and the events are something we may address in the future, but ultimately we wanted to make sure that we also were still publishing our podcast because it means a lot to myself and to my family and to my excellent co-host, Julie, and we didn't want anything to get in the way of that. So without further ado, we're going to have another intro where we talk about our doc line right now.
Hi, friends. We just wanted to take a minute at the beginning of the show, because this is Why Can't I Call My Doctor, to announce that we have a doctor hotline. We're calling it the Doc Line, where you can call us and leave a message and we'll listen to it and we'll maybe play it on the show and maybe we'll answer your question. So Jeremy, give him that hotline.
Yeah, 312-380-5005. Again, 312-380-5005. Leave us anything. We always need new ideas for episodes or new things that we can offer to any of the listeners, and frankly, anything that we can add to our dad jokes and puns.
And for your listening pleasure, we're going to include at the end, so listen to the end, we created a very 80s themed audiovisual commercial for the Doc Line that is super goofy and very dumb and very fun, and we want you all to listen to it. So we're going to stick the audio of it at the end of the episode, so please listen to the end to hear that real radical commercial. And if you want to see it in its entirety, you can look it up on our socials, on our Instagram, on our TikTok, and on whatthehealthpodcast.com. So we hope you like it. Call the Doc Line.
Definitely don't miss it. Go check it out.
Hey guys, it's me, Julie.
And Jeremy. And we're still asking,
what the health?
Julie, been sitting in any waiting rooms recently?
Not recently, but coming up, I think I've got some. So I have some thoughts. I have some intrusive waiting room thoughts.
Yeah, no, but you can imagine.
I can imagine. Put yourself in a waiting room, said no one ever. But like, go to your happy place. Go to your totally unhappy place. Yeah, I guess a good waiting room thought, an intrusive waiting room thought that we've talked about recently and that I think is interesting is the thought of like, why can't I call my doctor? Why can't I just call them? I have a question. I just want to call them. I just want to call them and talk to them. Can I just call them? Can I call Dr. Allen? What's Dr. Allen's phone number? Can I call him?
Yeah, why is calling the doctor like calling customer service at my cable provider?
Right. Like calling the moon.
No, yeah. I don't want to cancel my service. Can I have the next person? You're just going to transfer me to the next person. You're like, right. No, I just want to talk to the doctor.
Representative. Yeah.
Doctor. Right. Doctor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first off, I mean, I think it's interesting just to talk about how, like, you know, what generation are we in? We're millennials, right? I think I'm an elder millennial.
I think I'm a little bit also older than you. An elder millennial.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, personally, I don't even like being on the phone at all. I don't know if a lot of people do.
We do nothing on the phone.
I text a lot.
I get a lot of anxiety when I call the restaurant. You're like, I have to call and talk to the host?
I know.
You guys don't have an app for this?
Exactly. So I think, but there are situations where you feel like, yeah, when it comes to some type of, like, customer service things that, like, yeah, it's just easier to make a phone call sometimes. And, like, I just want to talk to a human being and ask that human being a question and have it be done. And I think a lot of a lot of patients want that from their physician too, which I think is totally understandable. But I mean, there are certainly caveats as to why that's difficult. You know, and I think we can answer that from the doctor side of things. So what, Jeremy, what do you think, what de-incentivizes you to be on the phone a lot other than just not liking it, but like why not be on the phone?
Yeah, because I think you nailed it. I don't want to be. I don't think anybody wants to have to be on the phone. But you used a good word there. You used de-incentivize. I am not incentivized to be on the phone. I get zero reimbursement for taking phone calls.
Yeah.
And that may sound cold-hearted, but I can't think of any profession on the face of the planet or anybody doing a profession on the face of the planet who does work for free.
Yeah.
And if you were doing any time and putting in any work, you would be reimbursed, whether it be hourly or with wages or whatever. And a physician does not bill for phone calls. Yeah. There are systems to do it, but there aren't, and it's necessarily done very frequently, and it has to be communicated. And most of the time you just don't do it. So every minute that I'm on the phone is free work. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I also am trying to see patients during the day because that is not free work. Mm-hmm. That is the stuff that allows us to, you know, keep our practices alive. We're in a private practice. It's important to be collecting. And so that's the reason why it is hard to get at
least. That's a little bit of the ugly truth, but it is true. And I think, yeah.
That's why people came here, right? They want the ugly truth, right? They don't want me to butter this up and be like, oh, I really do care and I want to be on the phone all the time. I just happen to be eating lunch. And it's like, no, I don't have time because we're doing all the other stuff. I mean, the patient's been in the clinic. They see how many patients we're seeing and going from room to room. But in addition, it's just not incentivized. And if every phone call I took, there was an incentive. So if I was like an attorney and every 15 minutes was billed hourly, you know, like 15 minute increments, maybe we would be on the phone more, or they'd create a system called concierge medicine.
Right. Which, yeah. I mean, and that's why I think there are providers, there's people that I work with that choose to go into concierge medicine. And there's people that choose to go to a provider and pay extra money to have that provider be able, you know, be expected to answer your phone call anytime. You know, it's removing some of the boundaries, which I think a lot of people would really like, but it's sort of like, okay, well, if you want that boundary removed, that comes at a price. And I understand it. I don't for myself think it's a choice that I would make for myself, but that's not me like poo-pooing it in any way. Like, I think that it's a great thing, you know, for that person and the person that wants to pay for it. But I think there are boundaries for a reason. One is that, you know, there are more efficient ways of doing things sometimes too. And I think that being creative and utilizing something like a patient portal, which I love, we have just kind of used ours for our practice more and more in the past couple of years. And I've really taken to it because it does give, you know, the only caveat is that it's sort of catering to patients that are a bit more technologically savvy to, you know, to be able to log onto the portal and send a message. But I'll tell you, I mean, if I can answer someone's question via, you know, via the portal and type something out for them, And we can kind of go back and forth like it's an email, you know, and I think people are used to that and have an idea of what that feels like.
But why can't I just use your Gmail account? Why can't I email Julie's Gmail account that I will not put out on this podcast right now?
No. Yeah. Well, first of all, we want to protect your privacy from anybody trying to look into your health information. So it has to be a HIPAA compliant system that's technologically advanced enough to protect your information in a reliable way. So that's why we don't use any private or personal emails. In fact, there's laws against doing that, then we don't use it. So we have to use an encrypted method of communication that protects you. And so that usually means that I think to like, you know, sign into a portal access using a password that only you know and blah, 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 blah. So, I think people that listen, I don't know, I don't mean to make assumptions, but I think folks that are listening to podcasts probably have an understanding of how a healthcare portal works. But I love it. And I utilize that a lot to answer patient questions because, you know, especially if it's something not terribly urgent that, you know, and I try to get, you know, once I see something pop up in my portal inbox, I try to look at it immediately, you know. I don't know about you, Jeremy.
Yeah. How do you like the portal? Well, it's analogous, right, to, I'm sure it resonates with some people listening to this right now, that you really just don't want to make that phone call to that family member or that friend who is just going to keep you on the phone forever.
Yeah.
And you're like, all I really need is one question answered, but I know right. that if I make this phone call, it's going to be a half hour of my life. Yeah. And it, when you use messaging systems like what you've described as a portal, it allows mm-hmm. for people to send a direct question that they have without it necessarily spiraling into us what turns into a visit, right? Yeah. I mean, and again, I think part of the way that the system is set up is that it incentivizes the patient that once they do get access, so let's just say hypothetically, I figured out a way to get Dr. Bruni on the phone. Oh man, I'm pouring it all out. I'm getting yeah. everything answered that I want to know about, even these other things that are going on, because I finally got it.
Right.
And then, and I don't blame the patient for that. Again, that system.
No, has, I think that's totally understandable. Yeah.
The system has set that up, but mm-hmm. I just have explained that everything that you're doing right there is taking away from something you should be doing, where you are actually like seeing patients in the clinic or going home to your family or whatever, right. and not necessarily attacking the actual specific question. And so using these, you know, systems where you can send a message is a really efficient way of throughout the day being able to respond to things like in an email type fashion and get specific questions answered. And there are systems, not like not ours, but I know other ones that specifically in their messaging system, when you send the doctor a message at the top, it says, if this is deemed a new clinical problem that you're looking for new clinical answers from, we will be charging you $30 or something like that.
Interesting.
And you like agree to it. And again, I think that all comes down to the fact is like, patients will try to get free clinical visits out of it. And again, I don't mean to make it sound like I'm blaming patients here. I get it.
Yeah, right. I would do the same thing too.
I get it. I probably have done it before too, because sure. that's the way the system is set up. But from our perspective, that's the concept. That's why it's so hard to get yeah. a hold of me.
And I think when you do, you know, it's also when I am talking to a patient on the phone, I want them to feel totally satisfied with that encounter. And I want to use good etiquette. And I want to be polite. And so, you know, it is just me personally, it's difficult to kind of give, you know, maybe that's my own issue of like setting a boundary of like, okay, you know, Jimmy, we need to stop talking on the phone now. You know, it that seems rude or unfeeling or cold. And it's difficult. So I think, yeah, I think it's a hard, you know, and I also like talking to people if I'm really explaining something to them. And if they're, you know, I really like talking, seeing their face, letting them see my face, like being able to show them something, show them a diagram, show them a picture, use my hands. You know, like I think if they're asking me a clinical question that requires a bit of explanation, you know, that's why I like to utilize telehealth visits as well. I mean, so then I think what you're saying, Jeremy, it lets the patient get their questions answered. It makes a situation where the patient doesn't have to make an appointment, you know, find transportation to the clinic, sit in the waiting room, all this stuff. But then the doctor is still being reimbursed for their time. And then you get to have a more face-to-face conversation. Again, it's a little bit difficult for people that are not technologically savvy. And that kind of stinks. I will say, like, I would love if telehealth was a bit more accessible, but I think we're just trying to get really creative in the ways, especially through COVID, and having to do a lot of things remotely, you know, now utilizing those systems that are now in place and more, you know, more user friendly, I would say, to increase patient access, help them get their questions answered, but also do it in a way that, that, you know, is beneficial or helpful for the provider as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think technologically savvy has also changed over time, right? The last couple of years, everybody's had to be on digital stuff and everybody has smartphones. And even the people who struggle a little bit with technology or older people are used to calling grandkids or whatever. And I think that there's bridging gaps there, but mm-hmm. but certainly it's stuff that needs to improve over time. Do you... When you get phone calls and to your office, mm-hmm. what's the pathway? How do phone calls end up on your radar?
Yeah. And I can only speak for myself in my practice. And I think there's other, you know, I feel like a lot of times when I call if I try to call a doctor's office, I don't really know who I'm ever going to be talking to. Am I talking to someone in a call center? Am I talking to a person who's sitting at the front desk of that doctor's office? Am I talking to that particular provider's secretary or nurse or, you know, advanced practice provider? That it's hard. So,
because you're always clicking the one that says, are you a provider?
Yeah, I know, right, exactly.
Even if you're still the patient, because
yeah, I get the hotline. Get that hotline bling. It's great.
I have an MPI number. Yes.
Yes. Would you like to hear it? Yeah. So, you know, if Jeremy, if you were my patient and you called the number on my card, that is the number that goes directly to my beautiful queen of a secretary.
Oh, here we go again.
Who is also Jeremy's beautiful queen of a secretary, Vicky, who is just the absolute best. And so Vicky's usually on the phone all day long from the moment that she clocks in to the moment that she clocks out for the day. And so a lot of times I think of patient when they call, they end up getting her voicemail. But she, you know, if she answers or she calls people back immediately, and then she'll take that question down from the patient. Cause sometimes it's something, you know, that Vicky can handle herself. Like if it's a administrative thing or like a forms thing or, you know, some, you know, or she can triage it to, oh, if it's a billing question or something like that. But if there's a clinical question, like why isn't my shoulder feeling better? I just saw the doctor last week and that shot didn't help. What do I do now? Like, that's not something Vicky should be answering, you know, like that's, you know, so she would pass that on. She would create an email and that email would go to me and Megan, my other queen. And we are usually with each other all day long where she's stuck with me. And we figure out the answer to that question. And if, you know, most of the time it ends up being a phone call, where either me or Megan will call the patient just to get more information and to sort of explain it to them. So that's sort of the pathway for me. I don't know if you do things similarly, Jeremy.
Well, I think it's pretty consistent throughout the medical field that usually there's some sort of advanced practice clinician that is handling a lot of phone calls for reasons I've already stated. You as a patient sitting in a room would not want your doctor have to step out every 10 minutes to take a phone call.
Right.
Because that's not fair to you. And you know, every practice is different. So in our cases, we use an athletic trainer, but certainly there's, you know, physician assistants or nurse practitioners or registered nurses in different practices who are doing this. And most of the time, they're qualified to answer all the questions. It's kind of analogous, I feel like, when you call the vet, you know, for an animal.
Yeah.
And you get the tech. And the tech itself is, generally speaking, pretty knowledgeable about what needs to happen. So again, it's the same concept. And I think most people are pretty okay with that. But again, the topic of this was like, why can't I get the actual doctor on the phone?
Right.
And that's partially, again, these people are qualified to handle most of what's coming through the phone call.
Yeah.
And more or less, I feel like there's been very little negative feedback to that, especially if, you know, you have good quality people on the other side. So, and
to be honest, I mean, like a little trade secret, if you really do want to talk to the doctor, if you ask to talk to the doctor, we will talk to you. I mean, I personally will. If Vicky says to me like, hey, they really just wanted to talk to you, I'm not going to be like, no, you know, like, of course I'm going to call that patient back myself.
Of course you will, but it's not going to happen right at that moment. So that's another thing. It turns into this phone tag thing, right? I'm not available to talk to you until 4:30.
Yeah.
And you called at 9.
Right.
And sometimes you'll get patients that'll be mad about that. Like, you didn't call me right back. And again, I can't state this enough. This is not meant to say that that person was wrong for feeling that way. It's just the nature of the beast is, I'll call you back. I'm happy to do it. It's just going to have to happen on the terms of the day, right?
Yeah.
I just don't have baked in time to do phone calls.
Right.
And if insurers and the way things are reimbursed want to carve out time for physicians to do phone calls, then maybe that would change. I don't know if that would be a quality of life improvement, but I certainly think that you could maybe carve out a part of a day where you were doing phone calls only and that sort of thing. Now, granted, also when there are sensitive results, I'm calling on those.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, when there's results that come back and it requires a conversation that's above the level of the person who I think can talk about it, I'm going to make that phone call and do that. That's what I would expect on the other side if somebody was calling me with those results.
Right.
But if somebody has a normal lab result and when they knew they were going to get that phone call telling them whether the labs were normal or abnormal, and they're normal most of the time, again, that's being done by the advanced practice practitioner who is fully capable of discussing those results.
I like that we, by and large, ask our patients, how do you want to be contacted? I think that's really important too, because then that really sets a precedent of like, all right, well, if, you know, if you get an MRI and you want to get the results, would you prefer to have somebody just send you a message via the portal? Would you prefer to have somebody leave you a message on your, you know, because I'll tell you what, I almost never answer a phone number I don't know. I wait for that voicemail,
and then
I listen to it, and then I decide if I'm going to call them back. And we know that patients do that too. So then you're right. I mean, like, playing phone tag sucks for everybody, you know, and if there's a way that you can mitigate that, that really helps too, because that's just it's frustrating on everybody's part. And, you know, then it's the end of the day. And if you don't talk to the doctor and it's, you know, 6 o'clock and they're going home, you know, then you might hear from them the next day. And I get it. It's just, I think it is important to try to be creative and utilize the other systems of communication. I hate systems that exclude people though. And I want to have compassion for situations where people may not have access to technology to do a telehealth visit and things like that. But I think you just set a really, really wide net and make things accessible, but also still maintaining some boundaries for the physician. Because I don't know that my thought process about how personally I practice medicine is to do things in a way that are very kind and compassionate, but also sustainable to me, and that don't facilitate burnout.
Yeah.
And I think
you can't help anybody, Julie, if you don't want to show up to work or
exactly.
if you stop practicing.
And I want to keep practicing for another 55 years. And so I got to pace myself a little bit. And if that means, you know, delegating some phone calls and, you know, not spending 3 more hours after work to do all those things. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think, Jeremy, you and I, we decided to expand our practices and hire athletic trainers who are so wonderful and so well-trained that work with us so well that we can delegate some of these tasks. So we're not sitting at work for 2 to 3 extra hours after we're done seeing patients, and that our, you know, we can still see our families and enjoy our lives outside of our jobs. Because I remember that my first 3 years of practice, it was me by myself, and it sucked. It really sucked. I'll tell you. I mean, it was really hard, and it was like, you know, you're in that mentality that you're the new guy and it's fine. I'll just work harder and I'll just stay here and I'll get it done. And then after a while, it's like, I need help now. And so it's just accepting that help and utilizing it is very important. And it creates more time for us to spend one-on-one with people in the office when you're there to get help for your problem.
I have a huge interest in technology and medicine. And I think what I'd like to see happen and where this should go is that we should be expanding the ability to kind of text with patients. And again, the concept is like the portal is great, but it requires a logon. It's kind of not terribly friendly for the phone, although there are certain EHRs who are much more friendly, but you still have to like log on and stuff. And there's got to be a way to create messaging systems that are HIPAA compliant, or as one of my favorite misinterpretations is, or mispronunciations is, HIPO compliant. HIPO compliant. That allow us to kind of text back and forth with patients, right? Because we generally speaking can respond to text messages. We do that all the time with everybody. And again, it's not going to happen immediately, but I think that's where this is heading, is to be able to text back and forth and be able to get that information on a handheld device. So that's what I'd like to see happen.
Totally. I think that's a great way of, you know, it's just thinking about the golden rule. How would you want to navigate this? How would you want to be treated? How would you want to get your information? You know, and I think a lot of folks, again, when you're coming to the doctor's office, you're there to get a question answered. You're probably worried about something, and I would like to get you that information and answer your question as expeditiously as possible so that you're not continuing to worry about it. You know, like, I hate worrying about things. I spend most of my day worrying. And if I could have a little reprieve from that by getting a quick message or getting my question answered quickly, that's a big satisfier. And that's just, I don't know, that makes me like my physician, and it makes me feel that I can trust them and that my needs are being met.
Well, if you are listening to us while in the waiting room, I hope that you have been I hope that you have been called by this point.
Right.
But if not, hopefully this was allowed you to pass the time and understand why, even if you haven't been called, why you can't call us to find out why.
That's good. That's a good wrap up right there.
So this wraps up another wonderful session of Intrusive Waiting Room Thoughts.
You get more theatric every time, man.
Well, I just love
practicing. I like it.
Yeah, we're real time here. So, Julie.
Yes.
Still asking.
Oh, what the hell?
Bum, bum, bum.
The amazing music is credited to SkillCell with Pixabay licensure. What the Health podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast should not be taken as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult a medical professional for any medical issues that you may be having. The contents of this podcast are the opinions of the hosts only and do not reflect the opinions of their employers or affiliations. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast. Under no circumstances shall Dr. Julie Bruni or Dr. Jeremy Allen or any guests to the podcast be responsible for damages arising from use of the podcast.
Are you mad that you can't call your doctor on the phone?
Yeah. What the hell?
Well, you can call us. We won't answer, but you could leave a voicemail. And we'll listen to it. And maybe we'll play it on the show and answer your question. So call us.
Today.